Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Check out the slideshow on our webpage for a segment that we're going to do in about 10 or 15 minutes on the Glass Stampede. That's the title of an article in New York Magazine. We'll have their architecture critic, Justin Davidson, here to ask, does the new see-through city, all these glass buildings, look better or worse than the one it replaced? We have a see-through city slideshow at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show, go check it out, and we will actually walk through some of those shots of buildings in New York City with Justin coming up in just a bit. But right now we'll check back in with Nate Silver, who writes the political poll watching and projections blog, 538.com. You have to spell out the words, 538, with the New York Times CBS News poll getting a lot of attention this morning for saying the convention bounces are over for both Obama and McCain. 538 today has a different take, that the bounces are over in the popular vote campaign, but not in the electoral vote campaign, where 538 says it's watching a veritable orgy of polls released in the last day. We welcome Nate Silver back to WNYC. Hi, Nate.
Hi, Brian.
So would you say McCain's electoral vote bounce is being more persistent? And, of course, that would be the bounce that counts. Uh-oh. All right, we have to get Nate Silver back on his cell phone. I will tell you that his top line projection on the 538 homepage right now has McCain with 280 electoral votes. That's 10 more than he would need to win the election. And that is new since last we talked with Nate during the Republican convention week, when Obama still had the electoral vote lead to himself. So some states are flipping, and we will find out which in just a minute. The title of the website, the name of the website, 538, is the number of electoral votes. And that's why you need 270 in order to win, because that is half of 538 plus one. So it is also theoretically possible to have a tie. Think about it. If 538 is the number of electoral votes, they could wind up 269 to 269, and then all hell really breaks loose as it gets thrown into the House of Representatives. Nate, we have you back, right?
I think so, Brian.
Okay. So the electoral vote bounce for McCain you see as being more persistent, at least so far, than the popular vote bounce, correct?
Well, not necessarily. I mean, part of it is that it takes a couple of days for polls to filter in from different states. And the movement toward Obama that we've seen in the CBS poll, for instance, is very recent, maybe movement occurring with the past, 48 hours since the Wall Street crisis hit. So I think you'll have to kind of check the site again in two or three days. There are a bunch of polls out today from the National Journal that we'll see a bit later. There's a bunch of polling out from a series of Big Ten professors who are surveying all the Big Ten swing states in the Midwest. So we'll have a better idea then. But the race is changing so dramatically, where it's a different conversation than it might have been, 48 hours ago.
Right. And I guess, Russia invades Georgia, and that's good for McCain. The economy goes into crisis, and that's good for Obama.
Well, yeah, it's kind of sad to talk about, crises of various kinds helping one or another candidate out. But I do think this is a bit of a September surprise, if you will, where, number one, it kind of deflated the momentum McCain had coming out of the convention. And number two, he hasn't really been able to outline kind of messaging that's, I think, very effective. It's kind of the same, well, Obama's attacking liberal, or, hey, I'm actually a regulator after all. I think the, second message doesn't pass the smell test. And the first one is kind of, too much kind of 1988 instead of 2008 as far as where the electorate is at.
We're going to have to keep this very short today, Nate, because we have a pretty bad connection to your cell phone. But let me go through one or two things real quick before we get to our glass ceiling New York, in fact, glass walled New York slideshow and discussion with New York Magazine's architecture critic. One of the features on your website is the tipping point states. And it looks to me like Colorado, Ohio, and Virginia have this deep red color that makes them look really important. What does that map tell us?
Well, it means they are really important. If you kind of look at all 50 states, and where are the states going to be where, you go up to 270 electoral votes? That kind of puts a candidate over the top. And we think, really Colorado, Ohio, Virginia, maybe a state like Florida, Michigan, that kind of group of five, maybe six or seven if you count New Mexico and New Hampshire state. So really the only ones that matter. It's not as big a map as it looked like it might have been a couple of months ago. Sarah Palin has helped McCain in traditional GOP states like Montana, Alaska, obviously. So it's really a map, you know, great state map, I think, at this point going forward.
So you think the that large list of swing states, meaning ones that voted for Kerry in 04 that could go Republican and ones that voted for Bush in 04 that could go Democratic, and we were talking about like 18 states a month or two ago, you think that's all whittled down now to under 10?
Yeah, I think part of it is just that, you know, as the election moves forward, people become more partisan in general. But I do think Palin has energized both the Republican base and the Democratic base. It's made it more like the 2004 map, I think, to a certain extent. It's still a somewhat larger map, and we don't know for sure. For example, in Indiana, there was a poll out yesterday that had Obama ahead still. He has, you know, a 30-office strong field organization there, whereas McCain has no presence at all. So Indiana might be one I would watch a little bit. Maybe Montana, because Ron Paul is on the ballot there. But for the most part, I think we are talking about the same group of states, with kind of Virginia and Colorado kind of joining the traditional Pennsylvania, Ohio kind of group of swing states.
How are you projecting Pennsylvania right now?
It looks like it's, you know, still leaning Obama. Certainly it's a place where McCain's doing a little bit better. But for a while, you know, McCain hasn't led a poll of Pennsylvania for quite some time, you know, really since April or so. So he's brought it closer, but, you know, Pennsylvania is always close and also usually votes Democratic. I think that's most likely what we're headed toward this year. I think Michigan might be a more promising avenue for them to steal a state where you have a very unpopular governor, you have a very unpopular mayor of Detroit. They're kind of those exogenous to Michigan, and the fact that Obama didn't campaign there in the primaries, he was late to that state. I think that makes it more fertile territory for McCain.
You have one other feature on your website that I want to ask you about real quick called the Return on Investment Index. Probably not a good phrase for this week, Nate, but what is return on return on investment in presidential campaign terms?
Well, that just means that, you know, obviously Florida in the abstract is probably more important than New Hampshire because Florida has 27 electoral votes, New Hampshire has four. But in terms of, you know, a marginal dollar spent, it's much cheaper to advertise in a New Hampshire than it is in a Florida, where you might have, you know, 10 or 12 different media markets. You have to buy TV time in the South, tends to be more expensive as well. So it's really kind of an index of if you have one extra dollar to spend, where should you put it? And it usually gravitates toward these small or mid states like New Hampshire, like New Mexico, Nevada, Colorado. It's less expensive to compete in, simply put.
Before you go, you're also known for your work with Baseball Prospectus. At the beginning of the year, you were ridiculed in baseball circles for predicting that the Tampa Bay Rays would win 88 games, which is like 18 more games than they've ever won before. And now it looks like they're going to wind up in the 90s. So you got that one right when just about everybody else got it wrong. But I got to ask you now about the National League East, Phillies or Mets?
Well, I think they'll both most likely make the playoffs. I mean, you know, Ben Sheets was taken out of last night's game here in Chicago, so I think that might, even if it was one, you know, I think you'll probably see two teams coming out of the East with the Brewers who fired their manager, you know, falling a bit short. So I think you actually have a bit of an anticlimax in the pennant races this year. Same in the AL East, where both Boston and Tampa will make the postseason. But it's really kind of a, you know, the big fight now is between the Philadelphia and New York, really, for two slots. The division crown is mostly ceremonial at this point.
Well, I liked your quote on your website saying that being from Chicago, that Democrats are like Cubs fans. They assume something will go wrong until it doesn't. So,
no, absolutely. And, you know, this year it looks like the Cubs are actually a pretty good, robust playoff team. Like now the polls are, you know, bouncing back toward Obama some. So you might have a couple of pieces of conventional wisdom.
I knew we'd find a way to tie the baseball chat and the politics chat together. The only time that it actually makes sense to use sports analogies for politics is when we talk to Nate Silver from 538.com. We'll keep doing it, Nate. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thank you, Brian.
And remember, if you go into that site, you have to spell it out. You have to write the words, 538. The Glass Stampede in New York architecture. Next, check out the slideshow on our webpage, WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show to see some examples of Glass New York, our see-through city. Stay with us.